Tell us about the Bailey Range. There are no trails that go there.
There are a series of animal trails, game trails that traverse. There is a sort of a trail that runs through the Bailey Range, but the Bailey Range is an area where people commonly go to seek even more isolation. Get away from the signs, get away from the designated trails. That's what the Bailey Range, people go to seek in the Bailey Range.
And there's a place called the Catwalk, which is a part of the trail in the Bailey Range. Tell us about that.
The Catwalk is a area where there's a very, very steep terrain. It's very steep and brushy and a difficult traverse. And people who cross the Catwalk are generally committed to the going into the Bailey Range.
So by Saturday morning, I had begun to miss my shift at the radio station. Then the red flags of concern were going up, but yet the search did it start on Saturday?
The investigation started on Saturday. We after Stephanie called, we decided we better find out where your vehicle was. We decided we better find out where your backcountry permit was, so we knew your itinerary, and we better talk to as many people in the backcountry as we could who may have contacted you. And you're a very gregarious person. You met a lot of people back there, and you talked to a lot of people. Thank God for your gregariousness. And we talked to a lot of the people that you visited with, and we were able to ascertain a lot of clues from them.
Now, one big mistake that I made was not filling out a backcountry permit. Now, let's talk about this for a second. I was under the impression that, I'll be perfectly frank with you because there's no sense of BSing you, and I'll tell you what I was thinking. We spend so much money in this country to log trees, to pave roads in the wilderness so that transnational corporations can then get subsidies for tearing down the trees, which we need anyway. So for me to pay $2 a night to sleep on the ground is a travesty. And I was really offended by that. And so when I was stopped by a ranger, thank God, Linda Humphrey. She stopped me and said, "Do you have a backcountry permit?" And of course, I played stupid. "Well, I paid at the front gate, right?" And, "Well, no, you need a backcountry permit because if you get lost, this is our first clue." And, you know, we spend $8,000. And sometimes more to find schmucks like you who don't have a backcountry permit. So why don't you tell us about the importance of a backcountry permit?
Well, a backcountry permit helps us to manage the backcountry. It tells us where people are congregating, where people are impacting the backcountry areas. It gives us an opportunity to pay close scrutiny to those areas so that we can minimize resource damage and spread out the impact, especially the high elevation areas. Like Cat Basin, for instance. We need to know how many people are camping in Cat Basin during the course of the year and what kind of impacts that number of people have back there. So the backcountry permit allows us to look at that. It also tells us, in your case, where you were, what your itinerary was, should you become lost or overdue. And that's exactly what the backcountry permit system did in this case. It was instrumental in saving your life.
Why is that?
Well, it told us when you went into the park, what your basic itinerary was, and basically it eliminated a lot of areas that we didn't have to search in the park. It's a gigantic place. Just imagine if we would have had to search 500,000 acres of the wilderness.
You might still be looking for me.
We might still be looking for you. Yeah. In this case, the backcountry permit allowed us to focus on certain areas of the park to look for clues, and that's exactly what we found when we started focusing on key areas, Cat Basin being and Cat Creek being one of them. The backcountry permit allowed us to do that, an important piece of evidence.
Now, another important part of the investigation and of the search and rescue effort is how the media plays in. And, Barb, that's your role. So why don't you tell us the steps that are involved in that? First thing is you have to get in touch with my family.
Right. We try to run a balancing act, really, with getting information out to the public because the public wants to know and has a right to know, and consideration to the individual who's lost and to his or her family. And that's really important. And in this case, in your case, we knew, and I had the press release all written pretty early Sunday afternoon, but we didn't want to send that out until we knew for sure that your parents, your sisters and brothers knew, that, and they didn't have to read about in the newspaper that we were looking for you. And, you know, it's just nice to try to cover that base. But we try to get information out as quickly as possible because there's always a chance. Dan mentioned that we got a lot of information about where you had been and where we might really start to look for you. based on conversations that you had had with other backcountry users. And that's exactly what happened. We started getting calls. Once people heard about it on the radio, read it in the newspaper, we got calls. And that happens pretty frequently.
Mm-hmm. So then what else happens with the investigation? You find my car. You actually break into my car for clues. Tell us about that and the other ways in which you gather information.
Well, we knew you were a member of REI. And REI has worked with us in the past to help us determine what kind of equipment that you might be carrying. For instance, the color of your tent, the color of your rain gear, things that are very important to us. Your partner told us a lot about those things, but REI was able to provide us a list of all the things that you'd purchased from them for the last year and a half. And ordinarily they don't do that, but because this was an investigation and because there was a potential for this being a life-threatening situation, they were more than willing to provide us with that information. So that becomes another valuable clue.
And you realized I had good gear.
We realized that you had good gear, and that was important for us to know that. It told us that we were probably searching for somebody who was alive, who's mobile, and who's responsive, because they have good gear. That's an important clue for us to know.
More mobile than you expected, as a matter of fact, because I was being tracked on the ground in the early stages of this investigation, and the one gentleman, one ranger who was following me on the ground, was asked with amazement during the debriefing after I was rescued, how did you get from here to here? So I was able to cover a lot of ground. That surprised you.
The ranger who was tracking you looked up the ridge to the left of him, to the west, and said, it's impossible. He can't go up that. It's too steep. Well, in fact, you did go up that ridge. And
what was the name of that ridge? Do we know?
I don't think that ridge has a name, but it's between Shuffle Creek and Cat Creek. I don't know if it has a name or not, but it's a very steep ridge, and it's a formidable task to get up onto the summit of that ridge. You did well getting up there, and when we looked at your knees and your legs, the evidence was there that you had come up that ridge.
Mm-hmm.